Sorry, the producer's a little bit crazed. Couldn't quite get myself together here. Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. My name's Nancy Hopkins. This is a Cosmic Reality production. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. It is April 2nd, 2019. And hi, guys. How are we doing?
Good evening.
Doing good here.
Okay. How good, Dolly?
She's just recovering from a sugar coma, so don't be hard on her, okay?
Yes.
What did she eat? What did she eat?
Oh, what did she listen to?
Oh, the previous show.
Oh, yes.
Well, they were just nice people. They might have been a little sugary, but they were nice people.
Yes, they were.
I thought you loved Lance.
I like Lance, but he can... sounds so fake and phony sometimes.
Oh my god. Oh my god. You just blasphemy. Blasphemy, I tell you.
I know. I don't even like to think that, but his guest about drove me over the edge. Bless her heart.
Yeah, but you know, she pointed out something that I had never heard before that I found fascinating. And what? That was in regards to the word aloha. Because she said that, you know, when the native Hawaiians would say aloha to somebody that, you know, you say hi here, well, aloha, they would actually get nose to nose, touch noses, look in each other's eyes, and make a connection of we are all one. And that the aloha, the ha, is actually life breath. And so you would write in the face, aha, meaning that we understand the connectedness of all because we all breathe in the breath of others, including the animals and the plants and everything. I just thought that was really sweet.
That's what they do in New Zealand. The natives do that as well.
Oh, really?
It's a Polynesian thing.
Ah. Oh, very interesting. Oh, wow. Okay, listen, I don't know if you guys have heard this. I've been waiting like all day to share this with you because it was really, well, it's pretty sad, actually.
What?
Well, now I've gone and, where did I put that thing? Just a second. Come on.
Am I going to cry like Mona did the other day?
No.
We went from sweetness to sad in a flash.
We like to keep her emotionally off balance.
Yeah, really.
No, this is really kind of, I mean, I'm like, my mind is just kind of reeling from this because the Shroud of Turin is gone.
They burned it again?
No, it got eaten by moths.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Well, this guy, Father Guido Carducci, the curator of the Holy Shroud, announced that the Shroud has been destroyed by an infestation of moths. He said they came out of nowhere. He added that there were hordes of them, so thick that we could not reach the reliquary, even by destroying them with flamethrowers. Due to the efforts to save the Shroud, the chapel of the Holy Shroud has been heavily damaged, and the Turin Cathedral is now closed for repairs. Father Seducci himself was hospitalized, waiting for surgery for a sprained face. I shouted to... He had a sprained face. He said he shouted too much and I was choking on moss and could not make myself hear over the roar of the wings. Now, this is where it got really interesting. Another guy, Dr. Giovanni Bugardio of the Papal Commission for Unusual and Apocalyptic Events.
That sounds good to me. Okay. Apollo, yeah, what
yeah,
you
okay.
Said.
Which is charged with management of peculiar instances and negative miracles, has said that on a preliminary basis, we have identified this as a possible negative miracle. He continued that the event qualifies for an official investigation because there was no scientific or even rational possibility that such a thing could happen. The case will be put before the Vatican's Miracle Commission. Scientists have gathered the carcasses of over 60,000 of the moths, which were recovered by the Turin Cathedral's somebody or other, It is hoped that the microsurgery can be performed to remove their stomach contents and reassemble the shroud.
Oh, oh.
The project is expected to be completed by April 1st of next year. April Fool's, a day late, but hey, I couldn't talk to you guys.
Oh, you little shit.
Yeah, it sounded bad that way, so that's why I kept quiet. So.
Oh, my God.
Let her have her fun. It made me wonder, initially, when I first thought of, you know, is this real news? It made me wonder about the copies of it, because I know there are two other copies in the world.
There are.
It happened one. Yeah, I think it was, it happened, I think, during the 50s or 60s. I learned of this when I was still living in Argentina, because, as you know, over the years, several forensic groups and scientists have studied the shroud, and they've done, like, x-ray scanning and all kinds of testing on the cloth. And there was one year when they were doing all of this forensic analysis of the shroud that the way the story was told, I forget who told it. No, I think it was in high school. The teacher said that they had put down a piece of clothing, a linen, much like the shroud, and they had put the shroud on top of that. And then they had put another piece of cloth on top of that. I don't know what kind of study or analysis they were doing. And when they came back later, inexplicably, the patterns, the marks that are in the shroud actually transposed themselves onto the other two pieces of cloth. So the church considered that the other two pieces of cloth were also now sacred or holy or whatever you want to call it. And they were taken away for safekeeping. And that's and the woman explained, that's why there's one here and this other one here. And I'm wondering, how do they know which one? I guess they kept track of which one's supposed to be the original. But that's the story that I heard. Have you heard different? Wouldn't be surprised.
That is so, I mean, that must have been a past April Fool's joke. Because I'm a student of the Shroud of Turin. I have never, ever heard of such a thing. But the only time that I knew it ever came out for investigation was in 1976. And the people that were investigating it were the strangest group of people to be investigating the Shroud of Turin. They, for the most part, were American weapons experts. And they went and they got permission. I think they had like 36 hours it was a very limited time. Maybe it was 3 days, but it was a very limited time they actually had access to the shroud. And they did, at that time in 76, as much scientific investigation that they could. But the shroud has very seldom ever been looked at least in public, you know, where you got released this information. But they're always, it's considered a sacred object. So the fact that they would even do that, I don't know, maybe. Who knows? Everything is crazy. I mean, my God, the moths ate it, for crying out loud.
The Lord of the Flies invaded the Sharon
Jeez. And then when you said the dude sprained his face, I'm thinking, how the hell do you sprain your face?
Well, that's where I got I'm reading this thing and I'm like, oh my God, you know, because I just was going over there, unknown country, just came from unknown country, to, you know, pull the Whitley thing, and there it is in their news thingy, and I'm going, oh my God, this is terrible. And when they said he sprained his face.
Yes, that's what got me.
Sounds kind of kinky. What was he using his face for?
Makes he was wonder, screaming. Right, he was screaming for help, and the moths were all in his mouth. He said what it was.
Sprain your face.
but then when I started reading about the negative miracle thing, oh my God. I said, no, there's something wrong with this thing. And then I realized that it was April 2nd, and this was published April 1st.
It's kind of funny, the imagery, because there was a series I was following on TV called The Magicians. And in the first season and second season, it turns out that the big meanie, you know, every adventure story has some big meanie that everyone, you know, has to fight, who's, you know, working behind the scenes. And he's the big bad guy that's, you know, hurting people or doing things. It turns out that this particular character, who had been human but became a magical character, that was the thing about him, is that if he were to open his coat or his shirt, you wouldn't find a human body. He was made up entirely of moths. So wherever he went, you would find traces of moths. So that was interesting imagery.
Okay.
The Mothman?
Not the Mothman. It's just that as the story progressed, you know, you find out where it's the origin of this guy. Where is he coming from and how he ended up being the way he is? But
apparently he came from a lot of moth worms.
Well, the thing was, in some of the scenes where you weren't allowed to see the face of the character because all where his face would be, it was a swarm of moths flying around. So you would see his hands doing the magical movements, but you would see his face. It would be in season two that the character was allowed to be seen by, you know, the watchers. So interesting scenery. You know, here you're saying a swarm of moths is destroying this thing, and this guy was made up of a swarm of moths.
Oh, Lord. So other than the Shroud of Turin disappearing and they're going to reconstruct it from the bellies of moths.
Oh, that almost made me throw up.
I hope Jesus has a sense of humor.
Oh, I know they do.
Oh, gosh. Did anybody find anything else to talk about this week? I mean, it's been... been crazy.
Well, it's interesting that Fulford is reporting something that you guys have been talking about all this time, because he's reporting that his Pentagon source is saying what you've been saying about Trump, that on the surface he appears to be, you know, bending over, but that's just a ploy. He's pretending to be doing this, but in reality the goal is something completely different. So
I found setting the trap. Yeah.
I found it interesting reading those passages because I said, well, the girls have been saying it all this time.
So now Fulford has turned himself around and is more for Trump, or he's still
just reporting? Well, he's reporting, like he said. You know, he reports what he's told. He's not in the game of making it up. So now he's being told this version of the story. So at least that part of it lines up with what you've been saying.
Okay, but did he write it on April 1st?
April 1st. It could be.
April Fool. April
Check Fools. It out. Check it out, Walt.
Well, let's just let him read the Fulford report.
Well, yeah.
Go for it, Walt. We're gonna bring Ben back on here. We know that everybody loves Ben.
Benvenuti. Okay. So the title of this report is... Japanese generals ready to act against the Zionist stooges as Reiwa era begins. I don't know. I know you, Nancy's a history major. I don't know if she's familiar with the Japanese civilization, the way they keep time and calendars. They have these eras. I don't know how specifically, how if they have a fixed length or how they determine the eras, but the history of Japan has gone through eras. You have the Meiji era, and you have all these different eras. That's why in Japan, Tokyo wasn't always the capital of Japan. I believe at one time in the ancient past, like the city of Edo was the capital of Japan, and they went through different eras. So now they're saying that they're starting a new era. They call it the Reiwa era. He'll explain in the report what that means. Okay. The Japanese military is ready to act against Hazarian Zionist stooges now that the new Reiwa era has officially begun, according to several generals who contacted the White Dragon Society. Although the public is being told the new era starts on May 1st, our NSA sources and Japanese right-wing sources say Emperor Naruhito assumed control today, April 1st, 2019, or year zero of the Reiwa era. The name Reiwa, and he gives the kanji characters for it, can be translated as, in quotes, emphasizing harmonious Japanese-ness, and is taken apparently for the first time in history from Japanese rather than Chinese classical texts, according to Japanese scholars. This choice was inspired in part as a reaction to attempts by the Khazarian mafia to sell out Japan to the Chinese in exchange for protection, Japanese right-wing sources say. Khazarian mafia agents like Richard Armitage, Michael Greenberg, and Gerald Curtis have been stripped of their role as Japan handlers as a part of the start of the new era, say Japanese right-wing sources close to the emperor. Japanese generals have been advised by the White Dragon Society they will need to nationalize the foreign-owned Bank of Japan and take control of the parliament, the prime minister's office, and the major media corporations if they wish for Japan to be independent again. Several generals agreed and said it has already happened. However, the NSA sent a person to this writer's house today to verbally inform me that Emperor Naruhito takes orders from the Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim. They say the Carlos Slims who gives orders to Naruhito is not the same person as the Carlos Slim who appears in public, but rather is a wheelchair-bound old man. In what may be partial confirmation of this information, the White Dragon Society has been contacted recently by Mexican organizations claiming to be very powerful and offering institutional support. Events will show if there's any truth to this, but clearly, if it is true, the trail leads from Mexico to the Vatican and the P2 Freemasons. Thus, it is worth noting that the P2 Freemasons have promised recently to work with Asian secret societies. Events in Italy, at least, seem to prove this to be true. For example, Italy has already become the first G7 country to formally agree to join China's massive 21 trillion Belt and Roadway Initiative, BRI. Italian sources say their decision has made it inevitable and the other G7 countries will follow and join the BRI. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has already made positive comments about joining the BRI. Also, Germany is apparently trying to reverse the results of World War II by taking over France again. In fact, French resistance forces behind the Yellow Vest protest movement claim their country has already been taken over by Germany. Unlike World War II, this time they used bonds, not bombs, to do so. The fact that Germany and France have begun to meld their parliaments and military forces into a single organization and is public proof that this is really happening. And here he, for anybody interested in seeing this, I'm going to put this in the radio chat. That's the article that claims this. Also, in a development reported only in the Italian press, the Bank of International Settlements, BIS, the central bank of central banks, has quietly announced that gold will once again be considered to be a cash equivalent to the U.S. dollar or euro. This goes directly against the 1971 decision by Richard Nixon to de-link the U.S. dollar from gold. It also shows BIS acceptance of a direct challenge to the petrodollar, the Chinese gold-backed oil futures trading. For more details, please use Google Translate or a similar utility to read the Italian article at the link below. Pentagon sources, for their part, confirmed that the quantum financial system, the global currency reset, and the emergence of gold-backed currencies are other signs of the decline of the petrodollar system. In quotes, he writes, a multipolar world is happening with the U.S. losing its unipolar moment, they admit. The loss of U.S. power has been confirmed by multiple events, such as the failure of its attempts to blockade Huawei, Iran, and Venezuela, they note. Henry Kissinger, creator of the petrodollar, is now a broken man following the failure of the summit he organized between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean strongman Kim Jong-un. Added sources close to the new Japanese emperor by way of confirmation. If the world demands gold-backed currency, then the regime in Washington, D.C. will surely implode. This year alone, for example, the U.S. is on track to post a trade deficit of $920 billion, which is equivalent to close to 20,000 tons of gold. Financing the projected U.S. fiscal deficit of $1.3 trillion would more than double the amount of gold needed to keep the Hazarian-run fake U.S. government going. This next part is going to get interesting because I know Nancy commented on an article that appeared on Facebook regarding EMP pulses. I remember Nancy made a comment on, somebody posted that and Nancy made a comment about it. And this is right in alignment with that. It says, possibly the U.S. corporate government will try to blame its bankruptcy on an EMP attack, just as they blamed the bankruptcy of Puerto Rico on a hurricane. Trump issued an executive order on March 26 to prepare for an EMP attack on, quotes, the functions of government and the private sector so vital to the United States that their disruption, corruption, or dysfunction would have a debilitating effect on security, national economic security, national public health, or safety. And I don't know if this is the same link to that thing. I'm putting it here on the radio chat.
Well, does he say more about that particular subject?
Let me continue here. The threat by Trump to close the U.S. border may also be an attempt to create a crisis to blame for the results of a government bankruptcy, CIA sources warn. The Hazarian Mafia is still trying anything and everything in its power to prevent the bankruptcy of Washington, D.C. by getting its hands on vast sums of gold. The failed attempt by the Rothschilds to use a fake Neil Keenum to try to convert bonds into 91,173 tons of gold was an example we reported last week. Now the Hazarian mob is going to try to take over Indonesia using a clone of their Venezuelan slave Juan Guaido, CIA sources in Indonesia say. The Hazarian plan is to back a veteran Indonesian politician by the name of Prabowo Subianto, along with his charismatic vice presidential candidate Sandiaga Uno, they say. Uno would take over as president after Prabowo suffers a stroke, heart attack, or other accident soon after winning the election, the sources say. However, Asian secret society sources in Indonesia say this plan will fail, just like the attempt to take over Venezuela has failed. Pentagon sources, for their part, insist that Trump is helping end Hazarian mob rule while only pretending to support their various antisocial schemes around the world. They say, in quotes, Trump waited until the Mueller report was released to recognize Israeli control over the Golan Heights. The real aim of this recognition was to use it as a casus belli for Russia, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Qatar, Jordan, and Lebanon to move against Israel and Saudi Arabia. Casus belli is reason for attack in Latin, isn't it? You are the military one.
Well, but I almost failed Latin. What does it mean?
Hold on. I'll casus belli should, I think, means it's a reason for war or reason for attack. Let me.
Well, it seems to within the context of what was just said.
Okay, here we go. Google Translate.
I just don't trust the CIA. CIA sources say I go. Pfft.
Well, wasn't Steele an ex-CIA?
Well, I also don't exactly trust him. I don't trust anybody that was part of
it. I thought Steele was the Russian spy.
No.
The translation I'm getting for this, okay, Let's see, the translation I'm getting for this. Okay, let's see if this one works. Yeah, the translation for this is espionage, casus belli. Okay, so let me read the paragraph. Okay, Pentagon sources for their part insist that Trump is helping to end Hazarian mob rule while only pretending to support their various antisocial schemes around the world. They say, in quotes, Trump waited until the Mueller report was released, close quotes, to recognize Israeli control over the Golan Heights. The real aim of this recognition was to use it as espionage for Russia, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Qatar, Jordan, and Lebanon to move against Israel and Saudi Arabia. Furthermore, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was ordered to leave the U.S. early when he visited last week, and he was not allowed to give a speech at IPAC. Remember IPAC, that lobbying of American Jews that are waking up to the fact that they've been duped, or to lobby Congress during his visit, the Pentagon sources say. Also, the Hazarians mafia's use of remote hijacking software to crash Ethiopian and Indonesian airliners recently is also having huge ripple effects, Pentagon sources say. The Boeing 737 scandal may lead to revoked certifications, production termination, and a new narrow-body jet designed from scratch, forcing the company to build better, safer planes and military equipment. They say other military-industrial complex contractors will also be forced to clean up their act. That's unlikely to be enough to get executives of the military-industrial complex off the hook. Authorities around the world are re-examining other suspicious airline crashes, CIA sources say. For example, the governments of Holland, Russia, Australia, and Malaysia have begun cooperating to discover what really happened to Malaysia Air Flight 370/17. Furthermore, a British laboratory has found traces of explosives on pieces of a jet that crashed in 2010, killing most of the Polish government. This means many European Union and Russian government officials may be tried soon for mass murder. The other airline crashes also had a strategic impact. The Malaysian airline Flight 370 crash killed Fairchild Semiconductor researchers on their way to China. The Lion Air crash killed 30 Indonesian central bankers. And the Ethiopian air crash killed 19 United Nations workers. Then, of course, let us not forget the results of 9/11. The wheels of justice are grinding steadily towards the Hazarian mafia bosses who ordered these crashes. The fact that these investigations are allowed to take place at all is proof the Hazarian mafia has lost power at a very fundamental level. When historians look back at these events, they will probably describe it like the fall of Babylon, the biggest historical event in thousands of years. It may even end up being so big that the West, and not just Japan, will have to name a new era to replace Anno Domini, because the hidden Roman emperors no longer dominate. Their Babylonian debt slavery system is imploding.
Sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. But I don't trust any of these people that have been involved in all of the, I really want to see the just humanity step into its own right. We don't need to have all these leaders telling us what to do.
Well, they're running on the old books. That's why I don't think a single individual will be able to do it, but groups of individuals, if they get together, they can restructure, you know, because what is the function of government, any government? It's just administrative stuff. They're not supposed to be controlling how people live and what people are allowed to do or not do. That's not their job. Their job is to just manage resources, like a manager. You know, you have resources. Okay, these people need this resource. Let's move this over here, and we need help over there, and we have to build a bridge, and we have to fix a road. That's what it is, maintenance and management, not control of people. That's not what governments are supposed to be, but we are so used to government telling you how to breathe how many times a day because it's not a real government. It's a private corporation. People think it's normal. Oh, it's normal. The government tells me what I can or can't do. That's normal, right? No, it's not normal. It has nothing to do with normal or nature.
Hey, Walt.
Yeah.
I got a download, this time not of science or shungite. This was about baseball caps.
Baseball caps?
Baseball caps, yep. And what I'm already in the process of doing, I mean, I'm already engaged in doing this, and Dolly hates the color green, but we're going with green, okay? So we're going to get these green baseball caps that are like, you know, forest green, I hope. I hope that the picture looks like what it does when I get the sample. But anyway, because I didn't delineate all my reasons for green when I was talking about this on Say What. But we cannot possibly be black hats, okay, because we're not the black hats. We're the white hats. But I hate the color white in hats or caps. So I'm not going to use white because I've got to put it together. That's the one step. No, we're not going to use white. We cannot possibly use a red because then we'd be Republicans. Or a blue because then we would be Democrats. But the green, well, that means that we're the Green Party. We're for nature, right? But the Green Party has been really wishy-washy away. I mean, it's like, no. So I said, okay, we're going to call this the B-Cap. It's going to be the B-Cap campaign. And instead of having a Tea Party evolve out of it, we'll have the B-Party. Okay? Now, in any good organization thingy, you know, you have to have some kind of a logo. And so I said, okay, well, the name of the YouTube is Be Aware 5G. That's a YouTube station for the 5G radio. And so you've got B-E, Aware. So it's B-E, capital A, Aware. Okay. And then to follow that up, you say, be aware, be active. Okay. That sounds good, right? Be aware, be active. And then you have an acronym. Okay. Now the acronym is B-A-B-A. And what do they think we are? They think we're sheeples. So our new logo, our new campaign for enlightening humanity is bah, bah. Come on, guys. This is funny shit.
Are we still on April Fool's?
No, we're not in April Fool's.
About the bah, bah. You're just pulling our leg again.
No, I'm not. I'm serious. Think about how silly this will be.
Well,
because the thing of it is that we're in an insane asylum. You know, you understand that something is broken down in the matrix and somebody has turned it from something that could have been real into something that cannot possibly be real. Does anybody think that the reality we're confronting now makes any sense? Not anybody that will look at it with, you know, open mind, you know. So you got the revolutionary kind of fervor that comes out when the people have just had enough of this. This is a lunatic, right? But the people that you're going to try to explain to come along with you, they're like, you people are crazy. It can't be that bad. There's no way that this could be the way it is. No matter what you say, they're going to fight you on it, right? But how do you get mad at people that are just going, bah, bah, right? But the key to this whole campaign is that each one of these baseball caps, when we sell them, we're going to sell them through Cosmic Reality Store. When we sell them through the store, they're going to come with 25, like a business card sized card that talks about the dangers of 5G and why you need to be aware and how you can become active. So it really is a serious way of getting the information out there. But I just think, you know, because people, you know, we've got the yellow vests and we had the occupation movement. And we had the 60s, you know, turmoil and stuff. We had the Tea Party. And I mean, the Tea Party started out, if you look at the beginnings of it, it was just a bunch of people in different places coming together saying there's something wrong. Nobody was standing out there saying, I'm going to create a new party. And that's what I hope is about to happen, because when we're talking to the 5G situation, they have put it into a battlefield scenario where you have a whole bunch of skirmishes happening. You know, there is no organization that can take all these various things that are happening, because Portland just said, we're putting all this 5G on hold. Portland, Oregon, city of. There's 80 cities that I just came across, not in time to look at, but 80 cities that have actually begun to stop 5G. Now, this is cities. The cities don't have any power. The counties have a little power. It's the states that have some power. It's all the federal government. But see, it's exploding all over the place, all these little skirmishes. So all we can do is provide them with a mechanism of knowledge through the radio station, Radio 5G, and 5G-KNOW.com, that website. And we're just pulling information together. We're bringing on some amazing people as guests in the radio shows. So but to give people the sense that they're not in this alone, that each of the little battles that they're fighting is really a battle in a bigger war. And, you know, I just thought, oh yeah, let's do this. We're going to be the B-caps, and we're going to our way right into taking back our power.
Now, how is anyone going to take us serious if we run around going, bah, bah?
I will.
Of course you will.
Will the cap have the image of a human skeleton indicating a person that has been cooked with the 5G?
No. The logo is the B.
Oh.
You know, like just like the Radio 5G logo. It's the B. Because the thing of it is that 5G is just the battle we have to fight right now. And I didn't want to fight it now. I wanted to save the bees. I wanted to say stop the sixth extinction. But I just kind of like got pulled into this movement to get the information out there, and so, well, if I've got to do it, then I'm going to do it in a way that, you know, I think is going to be fun. Because if you're not having fun, you're doing something wrong.
I got an idea.
Okay, let's hear yours.
Rather than saying bah bah, why can't we say bee bee?
Well, because
like, be yourself. Don't let people lead you around. Be yourself.
Yep, that's that. Well, that is, you know, be aware, be active, be is, you know, the three things that came to mind. But I just look at how can you get, you know, they get so mad at us when we tell them their reality is all screwed up. And if somebody is saying to you, your reality is screwed up, you'd better kiss your ass goodbye, you have a totally different response to somebody that says, look at, your reality is really screwed up. And if you come with us, you're going to have a good time because we're going to fix it. And that's what I want to see happen to people. I don't want them. I've seen what's happening to people that are engaged in not just this battle, but the chemtrail battle, the water battles, all these battles. You know, you get angry because you're coming up against an incredible wall of ignorance. And ignorant, they are ignorant. Ignorance is not knowing something. That's what you are. You're ignorant. We're trying to get you from being ignorant. We just want to tell you what you don't know. And, I mean, I'm as guilty of it as anybody else. You know, I get on 5G radio, and I get angrier and angrier as the show goes on, and we talk about how awful things are. You know, but at the same time, we are trying to do everything we can to make people realize, look it, there's more of us than there are of them. We have more guns than they have. You know, this is not, this is a no-lose situation for us. If you engage, but if you sit there and you just decide you're not going to, well, then not only are you going to die, but you're going to kill us all. There's a time and a place where people have to stand up, and this is it. You know, we're not going to get bombed by Japanese bombers over Pearl Harbor to make us angry enough to do it. They went and took down 9/11. On 9/11, they took down the towers. Get angry about that. They killed 3,000 people so that they could put in a BS fear in us to a degree that we would give away all of our powers and all of our freedoms and go across the other side of the world and kill a million people. That's the reality. See, I get angry. bah, bah. Am I angry anymore? No. How can I be angry? When I'm acting so silly. Bah, bah.
I have people in the chat room that agree with me with the BB.
BB.
Be yourself. Be. Stand up.
Yep.
Be you.
Yeah, but I know for a fact that you pay off the chat room.
Really?
I do not. They just love me.
Oh, my gosh. What are they saying? Anybody saying anything?
Well, yeah. You want me to read what they're saying?
Sure, hold read up. What they're saying.
All right. Let's see. Okay. Safi says, Saffron, I agree with you, Dolly. And Orionism says, hi, all. I'll try anything to stop 5G. Ba, ba, or BB. And he's got a heart. And hold on, I have to back the chat room up a little. Just be. Aquarius says, just be. Annika says, to be or not to be. B.A. Bear ass? Sorry, I got a kick out of that one. Bear ass. Okay. Be the bee, Saffron says it. Oh, Saffron says we love you. Okay, I guess that's all the ones that agreed with me. It wasn't an overwhelming whole chat room.
Well, I want to put on the chat room there, this is the initiative of a lady that is a friend of Nancy on Facebook. And Nancy wants to interview her, but I guess she's busy. So she'll let Nancy know. And this is, I'm putting these photos. She sent me these photos over Messenger. And I'm sharing them with you because this is an idea of her initiative. You know, this is something, it gave her something to do. She made thousands of these little cards. And she goes around to businesses, you know, libraries, bookstores, whatnot. And she just very, you know, very carefully, so that nobody notices, she slips these cards in with the merchandise. So there you have it.
I'm so glad. Yeah, I was going to bring her up because this is why I got so excited about this. Because Walt showed me those pictures and then he told me about this woman. And I got so excited because this is where what people have to do. They have to think outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, how can we possibly, you know, do this? And by making it, by taking her, and you know, it was not my concept of the cards. But I'm going to myself, okay, how can we make this bigger and better? How can everybody do this in a way that is meaningful? And if you give them this, you know, spiffy kind of hat that doesn't seem to be advertising, you know, some company that's just got a little B on it and it's saying, you know, be aware 5G, it's not in your face threatening. And so somebody's looking at your hat and you can see them and you say to them, interesting, isn't it? Yeah, it kind of is. Well, here, and you hand them a card. If we can get 100 people to hand out 25 cards, that's 2,500 people that have now in their hands a piece of literature, very succinct. EMF/Wi-Fi does this, blah, 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 but that's 4G. 5G kills you. You know, whatever they're going to, whatever, it, you know, and I'm sure we're going to have Michael Dunn is, you know, writing something about this to put on these cards. So that now it's like the old time flyer thing. You know what I'm saying, Walt?
Yeah.
You know where they would the news was put on a piece of this, and this is why I got so excited about it. The news was put up on a piece of paper that was printed, and then they would tack it to walls, and you know people, that's how they got their news. Oh, the town hall burned down. You know, I mean that type of thing. You know. And so had so many babies. This is how news was initially transferred. And then you had, you know, newspapers, and it got, let's go back to the basics. You know, let's go back to the written word if there are people out there that still can read it.
Wanted, they're alive, Captain Lynn Hopkins.
Well, you know,
oh, that's a good point.
Say what?
That's a good point. You need to put it in, not in cursive. There are so many of our kids now that cannot read cursive. Make sure you put it in print.
Well, yeah, we're not going to write it out. No, I know that. But I was thinking, Dolly, that maybe we have to have a kid write it. So, because when I see what they're writing each other, I don't know what it says. Because they use all these LOLs, and now I know what that is. Be right back. I thought it was burp. And first 100 times I saw it, I'm going like, okay.
You're going to make me pee my pants.
You know, I mean, it was just one of those things. Well, I know what we could do. We could put, you know, regular English words on one side, and on the other side, we could do the telecommunications stenography shorthand on the other side. You know, and then the parents would look at the one side and say, I don't understand what this says. And they'd hand it to their son, and the son would look at the other side that says what the parents were supposed to read. I don't know what this says, and they'll throw it in the trash. That's not a good idea.
Well, that's an interesting idea for Michael Dunn. So many people are hooked onto all of these communication services like Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram. And I do know that I don't know how they do it because I don't have an account in any of those things. I don't care to have one, but I do know that they do campaigns where they will literally, let's say, an invitation to a concert. They have a way to send it out to the account holders or most account holders. I guess it depends on how many followers a person has on anything. And that's a way to, you know, relay to thousands of people at once a specific message. You know, you could use that system to send out educational information on this whole 5G issue, and people would get it on their phone, and heavens to Betsy, that's where their brains are, inside the phone. So if the phone is aware of it, they'll become aware of it.
Well, I've already got Michael, you know, I've got it all planned out for Michael too. I spent hours thinking about this. I couldn't fall asleep. It was like 4 hours of just thinking about this. Okay. So, Michael is, I just love the guy. I mean, he's very articulate. He writes well. He's a good presence. He's got this great flock of white hair.
And he's very cute.
Yeah, he's very cute.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said, Michael, this is what we're going to do. We're going to use, because he wanted to go out on the road and get people all energized and stuff. I said, we don't have time for that. I said, but we have to use what we've got, which is the internet. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up a show, and the show is going to be a video show. And it's only going to be 15, 20 minutes long. I don't know how many times a week we'll be able to do this. But he's going to get there, and he's going to have an old-time mic and an old-time desk. And behind him, we're going to have pictures of Walter Cronkite. Walter Cronkite. Well, I can't even say his name.
You
can't even say his name anymore.
I can't say it.
Right.
Cronkite.
Right.
There you go. We'll
set it. Right. We're going to have Murray. We're going to have all these people, you know, old-time media people that were not controlled by the corporation. Pictures behind them. These are the people that are talking to you now. You know, not these corporate faces that talk to you and say the same thing in the same way on show after show after show. This is Michael. He's the new generation of the old generation, where you're going to get the truth, even if it's brutal. You're going to get the truth. And you're going to get the solutions, you know, because what I want him to, what I want everybody to do, you know, at one time, we had somebody put up a picture of themselves with a Shungite pendant on, right? A selfie with a pendant. And all of a sudden, you know, 24 people put up pictures of themselves with a pendant. I would love to see people just putting up pictures of themselves with the hats on. And to write us and tell, you know, oh my goodness, I had the hat on and all of a sudden I started talking to this person. Before I know it, I got a crowd there because they all understand it. You know, we don't know what'll happen once people begin to talk about it. And so I'm kind of excited about it because I think that, and they, you know, Michael is too. You know, the rest of the group seems to be. Derek's behind it. You know, because they're going to sell the hats through the store. And so, yeah, we got.
I told you I'd wear one of those ugly green hats.
It's not going to be ugly.
You know, I just don't like green.
Well, I'm not going to wear any other color. I mean, I'm for Gaia, you know. In my opinion, Gaia is, you know, greens right. and golds and everything else. But you know,
it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. We could have done yellow, but the logo is yellow, so that wouldn't work.
No, it would have blended in too much.
Yeah, no, I want that logo sticking out there. That B. Follow the bee. Because around the image of the bee, it says, where the bees go, so go we all. Now, Dolly would know what reference I'm making there. Do you
Q.
Walt?
Yeah. Q.
Q. Yeah, because there's there's more Q people out there than anybody knows.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Which tone of green are you choosing?
Forest green. Dark green. It's not dark green, but it's, you know. Well, see, okay, so I go on the baseball cap hunt and I find this company. And what I liked about this company is that you could get free samples. Because I don't want to put money out for something I can't see that I haven't had in my hand, you know. So, and it took me a while before, and they had a lot of selection of hats, promotion hats, you know, this is what they do. And finally I realized, no, we have to have the green. So then I went, and all I was looking for was the options of colors. And there was only, like, two types of caps that matched the color I was, you know, looking for. So I asked for samples from those two because we've got one that is not too expensive that I can afford. Then there's another one that is embroidered, and of course we're all going to want the embroidered one, you know, but that's very expensive. But I'm going to look at them both because we got people that would easily put that, you know, buy the embroidered one because they can.
Well, how much is the embroidered one?
I don't know what the pricing will finally be. You know, we'll see.
Oh, okay.
We'll see what happens. But everything is, you know, I mean, oh, so the company calls me. I said I wanted these, you know, so the company calls me, and what they're trying to do is make sure I'm not just somebody that wants a baseball cap, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, sure. So the woman is giving me, see what they do is they say this, but then they tell you, well, it's better if you make an order and then we show you the sample of your cap with the logo on it. You know, everybody's got a scam thing going, right?
Yeah.
And so she starts to try to work this magic on me, and I said, let me explain something to you. I said, we're going to do it my way.
Did you say that?
I said it. I didn't have. She caught me at an odd moment. I was like, I am not going to put up with this. I want my hat. I said,
say? How'd she react?
Well, she went into
shock.
No. They go into that, you know, babbling whatever they think they're supposed to be saying.
Oh.
You know, because they stop thinking because they just are confronting somebody that just, you know, puts them on edge. And
yes.
I explained it to her. I said, you know, she said, well, can I just ask you some questions? And I said, well, go ahead, ask questions, you know. And so she's like, you know, well, when do you need this? As soon as possible. Is this for an event? No. It's an ongoing campaign. Okay. How many of them do you suppose you want? I said, well, I don't know. We'll probably be selling 10,000 or more, and that's probably a month. Oh. I said, so yeah. Now will you please get some information for me, like when am I going to get my hats? And then I go through this thing, right? You know, and finally, at the end of it, she was, you know, I said, look it. I said, I've got an internet store that's advertised by an internet radio station. Now I want to take and use the internet store to promo my radio station. I did not want to get into 5G. And besides,
right,
which this is saving the world. person. Please listen to me. I'm saving the world. You know, I didn't go into that. I just give me my baseball.
She wouldn't have understood that.
No. She probably would have thought, "Well, I got a real kook on the end."
Yeah.
So then I had to fill out the same questions in an email, send it back to him. You know, and so I said, you know, I answered it the same way. How much could you have to spend? Unlimited, if you will play with me, please. Give me my hat.
Yeah. Really?
I said to him, look, I'm not going to, I said, I'm a big player. You know, this is important to me. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, no, you know, that's it. But if it works, you know, it's a very lucrative deal for you. I said, so please, just do what I'm asking you to do. I am not going to even take the first step until I see your quality. Send me the samples. Yes, ma'am, they'll be out right. What's that? So, I should go check the mail. No, that was yesterday. It won't get here that soon. But I'm going to, so once I see the quality in it, I'm sure that it's going to be, because I figure, you know, I need a company that is going to be able to keep up with us.
Right.
I don't like to go into something, you know, small-minded. Who guides me in this type of thing? George Patton. And he looks at the whole battlefield. You know, it's like, no, let's do it this way. Okay, let's do it this way. Because it's a battlefield. You know, they're trying to keep us under and do whatever they want, and we're trying to you know, free the world from the shackles of whoever they are. Still, you're always getting a different story on who they are. Listen, we're at the top of the hour, and so we might as well put on a tune. But of course, I've been talking, so I have. What do we play here? Well, we could play waltz instrumental, but that's kind of boring. I know. We'll do this one. And welcome back to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. My name's Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. And, okay, so chat says T-shirts and wristbands. Well, right now I'm going with baseball caps. We will do those later. Anybody want to volunteer?
For what?
To get that together. I want the baseball caps.
Oh.
I want to see a street full of people just walking along, all wearing those baseball caps. Every street in every town and city in the world. I want the people to finally say, hey, listen, I'll buy a hat, 25 cards, at least I'll feel like I did something. Get enough hats out there will change the world. So, Walter, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm just muted.
So what else is happening? Dolly, did you look at the swamp people? Walt, what have you been up to? I meant to send you some things on... Oh, somebody contacted me on a YouTube. I think it was the last Shungite show we did. And, well, let me just go see if I can find it real quick without, you know, doing something scary like I can do. Whoops, something's starting up. Oh, stop
Corey
the sound.
Corey says he'll wear one of the hats.
Me too. I'm gonna.
So will Orionism.
See that? They'll wear them.
See? We'll get a bunch of people to wear them.
We're going to wear them. Okay. I want to tell Walter this. Because maybe it'll make sense to him.
Oh, okay.
Hold a second. Let's see. Okay. See, I've got so many of them that I don't know. Come on.
Just a minute, Amber. I'll help you.
Okay. This guy says, Nancy, I have some clarification for you as to the unnatural energy you talk about that Shungite is reversing. I can send you. The information came to me through my, I had to click on it thingy, you know. This information came to me through my position from very high up. Just let me know, and I can forward it to you. It is all broken down in very easy-to-read terms, even though this is advanced particle physics. With this information, you will be able to explain exactly what the difference is between counterclockwise energy known as electromagnetic radiation and clockwise energy emitted by the Fullerenes called fusion in science, also called static piezoelectric photons, phonons, pyroelectric, I don't know that one at all, pyroelectric, among others.
Pyroelectric, yeah.
So there, somebody who knows more than I do about particle physics.
Well, wasn't that on the FB page? I swear I read that, and when I read it, I thought, ooh, no.
Oh, because I told him, I replied to him, and I said, please, join Facebook, make me a friend so that we can talk message-wise.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to...
And I was wondering, who is his higher up that is way higher up?
Maybe,
who is that?
Maybe this is one of our out-of-town family.
Ooh.
Who knows? But anyway...
maybe... we have government peoples listening.
Well, you know, when Walt and I started this journey and we started talking about a science that both of us understood and felt comfortable with, somebody's making a lot of noise in the background. I bet it's Walter.
Not me.
I think it's Walter.
It's all those candy bars.
It was that wrapper. I went, that guy is unwrapping something that's really good. But you know, I always expected that some person that was, you know, had some credentials would say, you people are crazy. But the reverse has happened. You know, I've gotten certified scientists who kind of like, you know, well, yeah, you're dead on, you got it, you know. And I'm going like, oh cool. But this one was like, ooh, I would really like, not that I'd understand it, but maybe you would, Walter. I'd give it to you. Walter, what does it say?
Well, is the text secret or can it be read?
I don't have it. He's reaching out. Or she's reaching out.
But what did you read? You said all that from memory?
No, I read it.
So that's what I'm asking for.
What do you mean?
I'm asking for the text that you read.
Oh,
it's in a comment under. Well, I can give it to you here. Let me. I can just copy it.
She's getting good at copying and pasting.
I know. Okay, let me go over to. I'll put it in the chat, so everybody can share because we do all of this together. It's a team thing.
We share everything. Yep. Oh, hey.
I did it. I did it. Anyway. Okay, so you've been looking at the swamp people there, Miss Dolly. What?
Yes, I have. Boy, are things hopping in the swamp.
Okay.
They're trying to hop out of the swamp is what they're trying to do. Well, that Adam Schiff's butt's really in trouble. You could expect him to be arrested any time, I would think.
And this guy was the guy that kept saying that he knew that Trump was guilty because he had information to prove it and then couldn't prove it and put everybody through this?
Couldn't produce it.
Well,
I think he's the one that... I think he's the one for that. I can't remember the names of all these dudes. Bergman or a B name who started all this crap. He's in trouble. I saw a thing where Trump filed papers on Pelosi.
That is true that Giuliani went and filed papers. That's a true thing. It wasn't an April Fool's thing?
True thing, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's insane. Does anybody, I mean, think about this. The President of the United States has just, in a judicial way, started a proceeding against the person who is the head of the House. There's a Senate in the House, and she is supposedly the person in charge of the House, and he's brought papers against her for treason?
I don't know if it was for treason. It was along the lines of defamation of character. Everything that he would say, she would rebuke along those lines. Now, I don't know about treason yet.
I thought when we read that thing that it was that treason was in it. Treason? Jan was reading it.
Oh, yeah, Jan was reading.
Yeah, Jan was reading it. I thought that Giuliani, the part of the papers were the fact that because of the, well, she's undoubtedly, you remember that there was that weird thing now, and I didn't forget this, but when I heard the thing about treason, it reminded me of the fact that she took off with all these people, her family, her friends, you know, and was going to take government planes paid for by you and me, to go fly to Europe. And meanwhile, back here, and it was when they had shut down the government, Trump is sitting in the White House saying, I'm not leaving town. And somebody with a rocket launcher was captured on his way to kill both Trump and Pence because they were both in the White House. And so you got, and it was Fulford, I believe, that also made, you know, some remarks towards this. What's this all about? Because... You know, was she, because if both of them were dead, she'd be the President of the United States.
Yeah.
So, you know, and what Trump did to her was he said, well, have a good time, but you're not taking our planes.
And he waited until a few minutes before she was to load.
Yeah.
You know? I loved it.
And then they proceeded to arrest the guy that was supposed to kill him while she was on her flight out of the country.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe, you know, all the people that said, was this really an attempt, a coup d'etat attempt with an assassination? You know, and if it turns out that that's true, well, I probably would bet that's a treasonous act
I would think so.
You know? Now, remember, people, we are just talking here. You're listening to the show that bills itself as reality sci-fi. The fact that we're almost always telling you the truth is not something we're attempting to do. We're just attempting to look at life and say, maybe it's this way. Because
we're just enjoying life along the way. In yeah. our, through our eyes.
Through our eyes, yes. Yes. Because I know it's going to come back to haunt me. Someday somebody's going to say, Nancy said that the Shroud of Turin was eaten by moths.
I was getting all worked up about it, I know.
Well, I knew you'd be easy. Walter, I was pretty sure certain wouldn't trust me. I just knew him. Oh, my
but then when you said the guy sprained his face, I couldn't get beyond it. How do you sprain your face?
Well, that's where I looked at, when I looked at the date. Yeah. Yeah, April Fools. I'm easy. I get taken all the time.
Where do you get that from? The Onion website?
No. This was on Unknown Country. And of course, they picked it from someplace else. They don't, you know, they just took it from someplace else. But we don't really know anything about what's happening in the background. Is Q been out there talking about anything? Is Donald Trump been talking about anything?
Well, I went to check Q yesterday, and he hadn't. He said a whole bunch of stuff in March, but I'm not sure if. Let me see if I can get in there. I'm not sure if he said anything in April yet. It's all the same stuff. It's going to happen. Watch this. Watch that. Yeah, March 29th is his last post. And why did we highlight the rally last night by showcasing volume of support? Define bait. How many fake news Twitter journalists are tweeting about Q today regarding rally attendance last night? These people are stupid, Q. I love it. He keeps saying, these people are stupid. Here's another one he said on the 29th. Threat to controlled narrative. Other than POTUS, can you name a group more attacked than Q by the fake news media? Multiple tactics deployed, including framing for crimes, think bridge, mob boss, etc., etc. In an all caps, he says, desperation. And then he says, reconcile using logic. And then in all caps again, think for yourself. And in all caps, dividers will fail. Q. So he's been busy typing things, but not since March 29th. So I figure when he gets quiet like that, they're working on stuff. I hope, anyway. But he's always saying they're getting scared. Basically they're getting scared. My words left me, so I'm not going to fight it.
Well, Walter, do you have anything that you want to add to the conversation? I know you've been so busy, you probably haven't been paying attention to much. There was something I wanted to ask.
What's he busy doing?
He's working.
Work.
We got him working. He's making all sorts of devices. Yeah, magical.
Do you have fun when you're working like that, Walt?
Well, it's fun when I can work at my own pace, but when you have a huge queue waiting to be done, it gets
overwhelming.
You try to force yourself to make more progress so you can get the stuff out.
I just can't get this guy satisfied. I mean, first off, we didn't have enough work. Now we got too much work. It's like, you know, the little bear and the medium bear and the, you know, it's like, oh, Walter, Be grateful.
Well, you keep forgetting. I wasn't born or raised in the U.S. I was born and raised in Argentina. It's in our genetics.
To what?
We could be living.
Complain all the time?
To complain all the time. We could be living in perfect utopia, and we still find something to complain about. Sorry, you got what you got. Complain to Gaia. She's the one that got me, so. Gaia, why did you get me someone who complains all the time?
Oh, I'm so grateful. I mean, I'll take you in any way, shape, or form you come, honey. Nothing. None of this would have been possible without you. And I mean, you even built the radio station, so, you know.
Thank God you run it, because I don't have the wherewithal to do what you do. It just bores the heck out of me. You have the imagination and the will to carry it through, but it's just so much work.
He doesn't have time to get bored.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he says he's got work, you know. On the other side of it, I talked to him and he said, oh, look at this new device I made. Look at this new device I made. I mean, his kind of work is like, I'm going to work for this amount of time and then I'm going to do something magical. So I'm not buying into this. I know him.
Well, I have to. It would be, some people have that personality, that inclination. Oh, they just, I've met them in New York. People that all they want in life is to, for 8 hours, just to sit on an assembly line and put little screws in little boxes. And that's heaven for them, because they don't have to think. They don't have to imagine anything. That's death to me. I need every day to be a little bit different. I need every day to be making something different, something creative, because otherwise you're just an assembly machine. You know, life gets so boring. You know, why am I doing this? So I can do something more tomorrow. So I have to do that. So like yesterday, from morning to evening, I just focused on getting all the resin parts out for one of the orders, and I did it. So this morning I shipped that box. So one order is concluded. Now for the next order, I need parts. I need the store to send me parts that I don't have. So I don't know how long that's going to take, but I'm going to do as much as I can do without those parts. But I'm splitting the time. So yesterday was entirely dedicated to the store, and today I had to work on getting parts for the stuff that I have to do that gets ordered from my website. So I'm making every day a little bit different. If it's the same every day, I'm just going to fall asleep.
My goal after saving the world, Walt, is to save you from this drudgery. we'll have a research project place that you can just, you and Derek, you can just build things and you know, make the world even better. Tomorrow we're going to have Dean Henderson on 5G.
And Dean Henderson.
Dean is somebody that has written like 5 books, and he's very much into, I think, deep research into some of the weirder stories, you know. I don't really know that much about him because I'm going to interview him tomorrow. So, you know, well, me, myself and Michael Henry Dunn. But he put out this one blog. He does a lot of blogs, and this is the second one I've read. And I want to read it to you because it's, I don't even know what to think about it, okay? First off, what caught me right away with Dean is that he talks in terms of the black nobility. And I don't know where in my research, because I picked up that probably back in the 70s and doing some research, that this secret dark cabal that seemed to be behind everything called themselves the black nobility. That's what they identified themselves as. So when I wrote Cosmic Reality, I used it. That was, instead of the cabal or the deep state or all of that, I used the black nobility. And he does too. Okay, so I thought, oh, well, at least there's two of us on the planet that are calling them the same thing. And
does the black nobility, does that mean their skin color? Or the clothes they wear?
No, it's the secret. It's I think it's the 13 bloodlines, because for years, writers and presenters have been saying that the whole world is ruled by 13 noble families. And they're called black nobility because they operate in secret. You don't know who they are. You know, you could be living in the middle of an island somewhere, and somehow, some way, they have something to do with your life there. That's the way they operate. They have their fingers in every pie. But nobody knows who they are. Nobody can tell you their name because they do everything in the shadows. Their faces may appear in newspapers, but you don't know that those are them. They don't carry a label or a t-shirt saying, I'm black nobility.
Well, why not?
It would make them an easy moving target. So, first rule of survival: never draw attention to yourself.
Okay, this is one of Dean's articles that is, it's just a really different take. Okay, so he's talking about researcher Michael Tsarion. How would that be pronounced? Syrian?
Say it again.
Tsarion. Syrian? I don't think you'd pronounce it.
Sarian. That sounds Armenian, yeah. Last name.
Yeah. Okay. Posits that the old European black nobility, the Habsburgs, the Tudors, the Saxe Gothas, the Guelphs, and now well intermarried Jewish banker cousins, the Rothschilds, Warburgs, Kuhn, the Loebs, Loebs, and the Lazards are Nephilim hybrids who were run out of their previous galaxy due to a full array of vile activities. Sarion believes these bloodthirsty pedophilias were chased to the former planet, and this is spelled T-I-A-M-A-T.
Tiamat.
Tiamat. Which
supposedly
was,
that's the planet that's now the asteroid belt.
Oh, that's another word for Marduk.
Yeah, remember, okay. Different cultures, different civilizations.
Okay,
different
that makes so much sense to me. All right, so which was then attacked and decimated by their pursuers. Another name for Tiamat is Lucifer.
Tiamat
is Lucifer. Okay? Tiamat was a water planet. The cataclysm which resulted, says Sarion, resulted in the 40-day deluge upon Earth, which resulted in the Great Flood. Along with the raindrops fell the surviving Nephilim, which Sarion claims launched the evil empire of Atlantis and have run every warmongering empire since. He believes the attackers locked a stargate behind them and banished them forever to their earth prison. The moon was apparently put into place as a sort of key to the stargate, and this explains the oligarchy's obsession with the space program. He says they are frantically searching for a method by which they can open the stargate and escape this planet, which they detest. In their search, they figured out the key to their dilemma was silicon. This goes a long way to explaining the advent and explosion of the silicon computer chip technology. Within the span of 20 years, Earth and its human inhabitants have been spun into a worldwide spider web created by DARPA. It is also known as the Internet. With each new generation of silicon chip technology, the net grew faster and its grip over its users grew tighter. The rare earth metals required were stolen from the Democratic Republic of Congo, where over 5 million people have died due to the permanent war there needed to steal the ore. Humans took the Nephilim bait. Their IQs plummeted, their attention span dwindled to that of a goldfish, and their temperament grew surly and disagreeable. They didn't know it, but they were now worshipping and mimicking their Nephilim captors. Like these Illuminati despots and their Freemason minions, the people also grew to despise creation, especially humanity. Enter 5G. The black nobility and their banker relatives can collectively be referred to as the Crown. Most cell towers are built by Crown Castle. The ionized space fence is being built by SpaceX. Planet X is Nibiru, the ancient home of the Nephilim, also referred to as the Anunnaki. The small cells, the smart meters, and the LED lighting used to conceal the 5G cells are built by Crown Agency Corporation, a subsidiary of General Electric, which also built nearly every nuclear power plant in the world, including the one at Fukushima, which is still dumping radiation into the now dead North Pacific. 9/11 came shortly after DARPA launched the Internet. It was designed to usher in a surveillance state, a permanent war economy, and a climate of fear, false patriotism, and obedience among all humans. The security firm, which facilitated the attacks on the World Trade Center towers, it was in charge of protecting, was Sericom, a subsidiary of Crown Agency Corporation, which was run by Marvin Bush, the president's brother. The Bush family are cousins of the black nobility, Windsor Nephilim. A series of fake Islamic groups similar to Al-Qaeda were rolled out to justify the ensuing wars wherever resources were needed. Trained by the CIA and Mossad, they all emerged from the Saudi-funded of the Pakistan-based Aga Khan Foundation, a subsidiary of Crown Agency Corporation. Lockheed Martin, which runs NASA, administers the new food stamp cards, reads the surveillance cameras being rapidly installed in every city, is building cyborg soldiers with DARPA, which we know is true, and is the world's largest defense contractor, is a subsidiary of Crown Agency Corporation. Now, they're talking about Trump and that he, okay, Trump was elected by Cambridge Analytic, a British intelligence front controlled by the Crown. The Crown was behind the Syrian white helmets and the gas attacks in Syria. Silicon Valley is funded largely by the Saudis via SoftBank. The Saudis have historically funded most covert operations undertaken by the Crown. It is clear that America and the entire planet are under attack by a force which does not care about trashing the earth in the process. A mass extinction event is well underway, and when 5G is fully rolled out, humans will be part of it. That force is the black nobility, the Rothschild Nephilim Crown. This force wants you dead, and should be considered your enemy in a war of epic proportions which is about to take place. If the vile Luciferian crown, which has lorded over Earth as its personal plantation for decades, wants to get off this planet, as Sarian says, then it does not care if it destroys the world on its way out. Having found the Silicon Key to the Stargate, are they now distracting us with petty conflicts and dumbing us down long enough to make their escape? More importantly, could 5G be a giant kill switch for humanity, which they will hit on their way out? Comments?
Well, it's not comedy hour, is it?
Well, they don't sound like very nice beings.
No, they don't.
Well, that's why you saw that that symbol in the Antarctic. It's the same thing that Wilcox says. They were cornered here in this planet.
Yeah, the stories are coming together, aren't they, Walt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Dean Henderson will be on with us tomorrow at noontime. You'll see it on Cosmic Reality. We simulcast Radio 5G. And this blog of his is called Left Hook by Dean Henderson. And he apparently posts weekly. So, I talked to him again today, and I think it's just going to be a very interesting show. A very interesting show. I don't know what to think about this. It's just like, what do you think, Dolly? What are you thinking?
About what?
Well, what I just read. Do you think that there's these...
these beings that want us dead?
Yeah, do you think...
because they're going to take off over the planet?
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's not true. I hope it's just a bunch of malarkey. But I don't think that they're going to be able to destroy us and the world. I don't believe that. I don't buy into that scenario.
No, neither do I. But I do think it's an interesting... See, there's so many different stories.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like Anelia Ben says, it's all the rules of engagement in the universe, not only for this planet, but the universe. And the universe is made up of how many millions and millions of galaxies, which are in turn made up by billions of stars. The rules of engagement of the universe is everything is based on contract and agreement. And that's why they keep putting money and effort and energy and time on all these things to exterminate humanity, and they keep failing. Like, let's do a laundry list right now off the top of our heads. What? Vaccines, made-up illnesses, war, of course. That's a number one. That's a given. You know, the list goes on and on of all the things they try. Chemtrails. And then you ask yourself, why do they keep failing? I mean, think about it. When you have all the money in the world, all the time in the world, all this amazing power, one or two projects, you should be done, right? You should be successful because, you know, you're putting countless millions into it. You got your hands in all the pockets of all the politicians. So you have all the political power. You have the money. So you have all the technological power. It's a recipe for pure success, isn't it? Isn't it?
Evidently not.
You're the one in power. You're sitting in the captain's chair. You're running everything from top to bottom. Yet for some inexplicable, mysterious reason, you keep failing. You keep failing to eliminate these people. You know, what the heck's going on? I mean, you increase the dosage of poison. What? You build more weapons. You still can't eliminate them. And that's because the collective, as a collective, did not agree to be exterminated. And they think they know more or they can do more than the universe. And that's the hubris that it's your own downfall. I don't think it's an accident that I don't think even think knowing how intelligent is the universe. I don't think it's an accident that they were cornered here on this planet at all. I don't think it's an accident. They were cornered here because they knew that this would be their last end and the end of it. They would not be able to move their crap to another place and poison some other place somewhere. Because that's the thing. They were cornered here because they were being chased from everywhere. I mean, look, I know that I've quoted Wilcock and Corey Good, but ignore those two. Start reading up all the other investigators and presenters and data gatherers that are there. They might use different terms, but they keep repeating the same story. They ended up here because they got chased here.
Yeah, but why were they chased here?
Because there were monsters where they came from. They went around, you know, killing people.
Well, yeah, destroying. Chase them here to our planet?
Because they didn't turn around and fight. They kept running and running and running, and then they ended up here.
Oh.
No, I think it was the universe of divine inspiration. Okay,
exactly. Because I don't think it's an accident that they ended up, you know, getting cornered here.
Because Dolly and you and I are here. We're going to set them. We're going to make them behave.
Yeah, right.
You either play by our rules or it's over because you got no place else to run.
Get right? over there and shut up.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Yes. Nobody else in the whole universe could handle these people, so they sent them to Earth. We must be really badass.
But of course we are.
Well, we're God's favorite. Remember God said, oh, I love you most? And Lucifer said, oh, no, 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 no. You know? And so maybe that's what it was. You know, there was a universe court, and these bad asses came to the universe court, and God said to them, you know, you got to stop what you're doing. This is just crazy. And so they decided, you know, like any good story, well, let's make a bet. We can go to some place and we can make them believe in silicon over anything else, and they're going to go AI because we're basically silicon-based. We're not biological, and that's why we're so crazed. I'd rather think of them as silicon-based than biological. It makes me easier with them. But anyway, and so it's a game. We're in the midst of a contest. God's got our back, and Lucifer's got theirs. You know, good and evil. I'm being serious here. I think that's the whole story that they told us about the war in the heavens between good and evil, God and Lucifer. I think it probably now, after all these years, might be true. You know?
You just now are thinking that?
Well, no, I've been talking about it for about 5 years, but...
Oh.
You know. When Nora Will and I get into it all the time, we're always going back to that. You know, the bet. What were all the parameters of the bet? Yeah. I'm not really happy with God for putting me in this position, but I guess he thought we'd win. God never loses.
Yeah. I don't think he'd put any of us in a position he thought we'd lose.
Right, right. And think of how many ways they've tried to kill us, Walt. And if they, you know, instead they're making us stronger and stronger and stronger.
Exactly. That's the big joke, that they're contributing to make a superior humanity, because it's like, for those that have studied biology in school, even high school, well, I guess depending what school you go to, back in the early 20th century and all the time that, you know, like Jonas Salk and all these biologists were investigating how to make, you know, vaccines to protect people from smallpox and varicella and all of these things. Like if you remember, which one was it? I think it was Jonas Salk, when he found that the people that worked at the dairy farms, you know, the people that have to sit, you know, next to the cow, you know, collecting the milk from the cow, they wouldn't get chickenpox. They wouldn't get sick. And he found that what happened is when the cow would get the virus, they would develop these blisters in their body. And since you're working around the cow and you have to touch the cow and everything, you know, you break the blisters and you get that fluid on your skin. Well, it turns out that these people accidentally, by doing that, they were picking up the cow's antibodies, and they didn't get sick. People working at the dairy farms were not getting sick, while the population in the city were getting sick. So that was the clue. It was pure serendipity. It's the universe talking to you. Here, take a look at this. Here's a solution to your problem. So what they found is that if you take a living virus and you, what they call this, it's a biological expression, it's called attenuation. They use, specific kind of alcohol to do that. You attenuate the virus, meaning the virus is alive, but it's like dormant. If you inject it into the body, it doesn't do anything. It's just there. And by doing that, the human body would have enough time to develop an antibody to this invading organism, and therefore if it gets infected with a real live organism, it would have protection, because the body has been given time to develop an antibody by being exposed to this thing. What happens is, because it's attenuated, it's not attacking the body, therefore it gives your body time to, you know, come up with a plan of defense, and that's how many vaccines are based. You, like, for example, case in point, I know it's a different discipline altogether, but herpetologists, the scientists that studies reptiles, snakes specifically, what do they do to make an antidote for snake's poison? Well, they need some of the snake's poison. So it's actually poison that's being used to make the antidote to the actual poison. It always goes back to that. So these people, you know, I consider humanity, the collective, is now fully vaccinated against this horrible evil, because I don't think there's any worse out there. This is it. This is the grandmother of all evils, since they see us as cattle. Our children are things to be, you know, abused and then disposed of and consumed as food. So I can't imagine something worse than the stuff they do on humanity. So that's it. Never again.
I can think of something worse. I can think when people know what the situation is and they do nothing about it. That's worse. And that's the decision we have.
Well, that's being asleep also.
Hey, there's too many people that pretend to be asleep when they don't want to talk to their wife or husband.
Isn't that the truth?
I don't trust all these people that say, I'm sleeping, I'm sleeping. No, I don't trust them. Because if they were sleeping, they'd be having nightmares.
That's true, yeah. They're just waiting for the rest of us to do all the work.
Well, looking the other way is comfortable, right? And the thing is, but here is where the shit hits the fan. I'm willing to look the other way as long as it doesn't affect me. As long as I can still feed my family and I have running water and I have food in the fridge. But once one of those things is affected and compromised, oh, then you better pay attention. Now it's affecting me. Son, and that's the turning point. Like, for example, like homelessness. Oh, I'm not homeless. It's not affecting me. Well, what happens when somebody challenges to take your house away? Now it's affecting you. You're being threatened with homelessness. And that's the thing that I think that's the key point to make on this 5G. There is no bubble for you to step into to get away from it. It's affecting everybody. So
even the ones who are doing it.
Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful, you know, because you didn't put us into ghettos and kill us off one at a time. Well, except Gateshead, which was their first go at it. You know, they didn't do that. They're just going to go after all of us. So we're all under attack at the same time. And lo and behold, there's like 80 cities. I just saw it. 80 cities are already saying no to 5G, which legally they don't even have a leg to stand on within the concept of, you know, the cities have to conform to certain county laws, and then the counties have to talk to the states, and of course the state talks to the feds, and the feds said to everybody, you don't have any power to do this. So the cities are saying, wait a minute, you know, this is life and death. You know, so if we have to secede from the county and the state and the federal government in order to protect our citizens, because basically I don't know of any law, because they've taken all the laws away from any of these governments to be self-sufficient and to be able to make decisions for their populations. It's the telecommunications companies that are making the decisions about the communities. This is ridiculous. This is so in your face and so stupid. That if you're not waking up, then you're brain dead. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, you're just brain dead. You're not looking at anything. When they stand up there and they did this, that when the telecommunications was making this big thing about, you know, 5G rollout and all this sort of thing, there were representatives of these corporations that now are in charge of everything, because Obama made a law and Clinton made a law, and basically in both cases, one said you will not have any rights to sue the telecommunications companies. And oh, by the way, states, you don't have any rights to tell the telecommunications they can't bring their antennas and things in there. Okay? So now how they're getting stopped is by them, not by the companies who are working in a given city needing a permit to build an antenna. And the government of the city saying, we're not going to give you the permit until we look at this further. So everything is, you know, that seems to be the way that it's unraveling, is they're stopping the building of the system. Because it is a system, and if it's not all connected, it ain't all going to work. You know, so what I'm seeing is very, very hopeful. that it's going to be a battle on the local level. You know, your community is coming under attack, an attack that will kill everything in your community. That is just fact. And there's nobody that's going to get out there and tell, they'll tell you that I'm crazy or I'm lying, but ask them for the facts. In fact, ask them how much money they have spent in doing studies regarding the health effects of their telecommunications. I can tell you what it is. It's zero, because they admitted that to a Senate committee. They have never looked into the health effects of their own equipment. They say, we know differently. They damn well do know the problem, because in 2014, all of these telecommunications companies went out and told all of their shareholders that everything is going to be so amazing. We're going to have so much money, we won't even know where or what to do with it. Oh, well, except if they find out about the health problems, and then they're going to have our asses sued. That's what they told them, the official documents. Not as blatantly as that, but almost. So what happens 2 years later? All of a sudden, all of the insurance companies have exclusion 32, which means that the insurance companies will not pay for medical costs regarding anyone who has anything that was caused by any kind of an electromagnetic signal, if it was your circuit breaker in your house, to the, you know, effect that you got a cell tower next to you. Nobody has to pay for any of this. If it wasn't real, why would they have done that? Why does Lloyd's of London think that it's too risky to, you know, insure people against the damages of electromagnetic energy? You know, so then Obama makes a law saying that, oh, well, okay, all right, then, you know, the telecommunications companies are the ones that are going to tell everybody else what they're going to do. How is this republic? How is this democratic? This is fascism. Blatant fascism. So we need those hats. We got to get those caps. Because it's insane. You know? And I think that, you know, there's one of the songs I really love. It says, you know, so strong you don't have to go to war. And that's exactly where I think we are. We don't have to fight these people. We just have to call them out. Just like what's happening to the swamp people, Dolly. Trump is saying, enough of this. I'm going to call you out. Let's go to a court of law. Let's talk it over in a court of law, Pelosi.
But first, he had to get that Mueller report through without doing any interference with it.
Of course, they're lying.
If he would have done anything about the Mueller report, then they would have said, oh, you interfered and you made this other stuff happen. He was playing the game, and he's a good game player. I'm telling you. He's a good game player.
Well, even Fulford thinks that, maybe.
I thought that all along.
I hear a cat in the background.
It's not mine.
That's Mitch.
Mitch.
She's a Siberian forest cat.
Is that the wild one that came in?
Yep.
Oh, Lordy. So what else is happening? Gosh, I don't know. What else is happening? I seriously... Well, I'm writing the book. I'm writing the B part of it now.
Did I send you those... what I had proofread?
No, because I can't seem to get with you at a time where you can tell me how it is you did them, and you know, that sort of thing. We've got to do that. Because right now, all I'm doing is trying to get it to the Russians.
Yeah. You better watch out.
Well, no, because the Russians, and, you know, I've been on this radio program talking Shungite for, what, now 5 years? And I said from the beginning that my feeling is that the Russians know what we're saying, but that they're not saying it. Because why? Well, because it was the Russians that said, wow, this is the medicine of the 21st century. Because the Russians said this stuff is going to be worth more than gold in weight.
See how you're talking? One of these government people's going to take he's going to take up a campaign to get Nancy Hopkins. She's colluding with those Russians.
Wouldn't be much of a trial because I'm saying, yes, I'm colluding with the Russians. I'm trying to save the world. The bees won, you know, I mean, it's like, no, they're very, well, for heaven's sakes, they come from the Ved Rus, right, Walt?
Yep.
They're the people that have Anastasi living in the northern part of the country.
Oh, I like the way the Russians think. I like the way that a lot of the Eastern people think. They believe in the fairies.
Yes, they do.
They believe in the little peoples. And they believe in the angels. And that there's a war between the angels and the bad dudes. And the bad angels. Good angels and bad angels. And I like the Russians. Hopefully now I'm going to be on the list.
Well, you know, the thing of it is about the Russians is that I've always had a great deal of admiration for them because they never trusted their government. They never believed the papers. You know, Americans are over here, I'm for this guy, and yeah, they tell me the truth over here. No, the Russians never bought into it. So no matter what the government was, and this is their whole history, it was above the people. It was like, yeah, they got their world, we got our world.
And that's the way it was. Two separate worlds in the one.
We never believed our governments either, so we're not that different.
Well, that's true. Anytime they open their mouth, I know a lie is going to come out.
Yep. So, well, let's see. Do we have any good news? There's a lot of good news out there. Portland, Oregon, city of 5G. We haven't had a crash yet. 21 days is over. The Mueller report says that Trump, we can't find anything dirty on him, which is a really good thing. Because at least maybe we can get past that. And right now everybody's paying taxes.
Oh, yeah, it's tax time.
Yeah. It's funny because in the store, every time we'd get to this time of the year, there'd be a drop-off in the activity in the store. And then I realized it's because people are doing their taxes. You know, they're thinking about something other than EMF, toxic water. By the way, anybody who has not heard the, oh my gosh, I better make sure that I've got that up there and that, is the show, the Shungite show from this morning. Okay, it's up there. Yeah, it's going to play right after this one. And this was a good Shungite show because what I did was I went through the Facebook group there, Shungite Reality, and some of the things that people were saying and asking, and it was a good show.
It was.
Yeah. And one of Derek's really good friends, Christopher Jacobs, he and his wife and some other friends are in Japan, and they've got, like, many hundreds, if not thousands, of nuggets of Shungite, and Shungite Pucks is sort of like an Oregon device that we sell in the store. And they're putting them all over Japan. And I guess he said that today they were going to Fukushima and, you know, putting stuff there too. So
people, I had heard that there somebody is already using Shungite at the Fukushima place.
Yes, but it's a bunch of, well, there's two universities that were involved in it, and they were basically taking Shungite and trying to make it better to do whatever. And
well, how do you make Shungite better?
Well, that's
better.
I wanted to ask you that. Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't understand what they were trying to do, and it's like, you know, they don't get enterology. It's all chemistry, and of course a black rock that's laying there is not capable of doing all this magic. Well, yeah, so
okay.
Oh, it's like a group of cavemen discussing how to make fire hotter.
But the thing of it was that this, and I was reading the scientific report from the universities, and they're going through and they're talking about the different types of isotopes of radiation, and that they did this to the shungite and they were able to take out this one, you know, and then at the very end of it, like, you know, the second sentence from the end, it says, kind of like, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but it was like, oddly enough, and they named one of the isotopes of radiation, shungite alone got rid of that one. You know, it's like, oh yeah, and by the way, shungite did get rid of one of them, and did you ever try, you know, I mean, it's like ludicrous what they do. But hey, that's their reality. My reality is what? It is time to go see Oak Island.
Thank you, guys. That woke me up.
Thank you, guys. I so appreciate you guys being here, and all the people that listen to us. It's just very gratifying to have you with us on this trip. You want to say goodnight, Walt?
Good night, everybody. Thank you for your patience and your time being here with us. Thank you very much, Dolly, for coming together with us on the show, and thank you, Nancy, for the production of Cosmic Reality.
Well, thank you for having built it.
Thank you. Yeah. Look, I just appreciate all you listeners and you chatters. I love it when you can make it into the chat room and chat with us live and talk with us and give us suggestions and comments. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming. And that's how I pay him, Nancy. I tell him from my heart that I love him. Okay. And so from me, bye-bye.
Everybody, thank you so much. And please, tomorrow, you know, I think it might be a very, very interesting, I can't find the outro here. What happened to my outro to this thing? There it is. Okay. Tomorrow with Dean Henderson on Radio 5G, noontime. It plays over Cosmic Reality. You can also go to the, you know, the other one, but they're all linked together. The chat room's the same. Thank you all very much, and be safe, and please, please, please be blessed. Teaching, preaching, the unknown, unknown, unknown. You have been listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for listening. Choose your heart as a